Do you know who the worst band of the 90s was?
Hmm.
I will put out there in the world that I think The Offspring is the worst band of the 90s.
I kind of agree. I do kind of agree. All right, we're back. Week 14. Welcome to Fantasy Outliers, the podcast by fantasyoutliers.com. This is Dave.
And other Dave.
And here we are.
Are you in the playoffs?
We're in the playoffs.
Is everyone in the playoffs?
I mean, I think by this point, everybody's in the playoffs. Everybody who made it, made it.
And all the people that didn't make it stopped listening.
Are going to be really bored by this podcast because we probably won't have a lot of content that's for people not playing at this point.
Yeah, we're probably not going to tell you which Christmas gifts to buy for your uncle or whatever.
Or hot people to look for next year. Maybe we'll figure that out in the future. But right now, we are here to help you with your start-sit decisions for every game other than the Saints-Falcons game that's currently happening right now.
Yeah, we're going to try to avoid that.
So sorry, guys. Yeah, we're ready. I actually made the playoffs in every league I was in this year.
Nice.
Yeah, I went 10-3, 7-6, and I squeaked into one league with a record of 6-7.
Nice.
Into the playoffs at number 6 seed.
Which we've talked about before. That is actually pretty reasonable.
Yeah. So you had said that you wanted to do a little recap about kind of the... some of you may remember we published a podcast and an article towards the beginning of this whole run, probably back in August, called How Many Points Are Enough?
Yeah.
Right? And the idea behind that article was we took a backwards look at fantasy football leagues with some of the data that we had to see what teams typically score and what the expected win percentage was for different point totals, and also how that was related to the number of games that you can expect to win and if you might make your playoffs. So Dave has some kind of results from this year now that we're actually in the playoffs. So we're going to do a little kind of like recap before we get into the rankings this week.
Yeah. So I wanted to use one of our leagues. I know people hate when we talk about our own, whatever, who cares?
We haven't gotten any hate mail telling us that. Yeah, it's mostly Chris saying we shouldn't do that.
Stop talking about that. Nobody cares except for you, which I think is sort of true, but whatever. So I just wanted to use one of our leagues as an example. So one of our main leagues that we both play against each other in.
12-team PPR.
Yep. It's all of our friends in Chicago and some other people that have actually moved and stuff. So we're pretty tight with everybody in this league. It's actually a really competitive league.
Yeah, it is.
There's there aren't too many really good teams or too many really bad teams. Everyone's kind of fighting for spots. So like the middle ground getting into the playoffs really almost always comes down to like the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
And so I wanted to look at this and, you know, it's a 12-team PPR league.
Now, you didn't make the playoffs in this league, right?
I did not. Yes.
Did anyone else on this podcast make the playoffs in this league?
Yeah, somebody did. Somebody did.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll get to that. But, so in one of the examples in the article, we wrote called How Many Points Are Enough? We use 12-team PPR as one of the examples, and the expected win percentages based off of points scored per week, we benchmarked it like 90 points for a 20% win rate, which is terrible.
Right.
So you need to be way above that.
Right.
About 50% is somewhere around 107, 108 points.
Right.
We kind of called it, rounded up to 110,
right?
Just for convenience. 80% win rate, it's about 128 points or... Well, I think we rounded up to 130 in the article.
Right.
So,
we were trying to make something that someone could use as a heuristic, right? In the article, we referred to it as the 70-90-110 rule.
That's
because
standard,
that was for standard scoring. Yes.
Yeah.
So, Dave's totals, as we talked about in there, higher for PPR, sort of lower for 12 points. And so you kind of end up with the numbers that Dave just said of 90, 110-ish, 130-ish.
Yeah. And so looking at... And that's just through the regular season. So we're not looking at, I mean, I guess it applies to everything.
The win percentages should hold
everywhere.
Through everything. But the idea was if you look at it over a 13 game season, you'll have an idea of how likely your team was to make the playoffs too.
Yeah. So Chris did this analysis and he also did another analysis that was looking at how many wins it actually takes on average to get into the playoffs.
Right.
And what he found was through almost every scoring format, you need about 10 wins.
To guarantee,
you will win your regular season on average if you have 10 wins.
Right.
So what does that equate to? Conveniently, that equates to about 130 points. That's an 80% win rate,
right,
which is
the same.
You're 10-3, basically.
Yeah, so using math.
Yeah, using math.
An expected win rate can equal both a number of points for us and also a number of games won. Like the matchup can be 80% for you to win when you hit a certain point total. Also, that expected win rate percentage translates into a fraction out of 13, and that's where the 10 comes from as well.
Yeah, so I was looking back at what four teams did. Your team, my team, your sister's team, and Mark's team, one of our other friends. And so let's start with mine. I did not make the playoffs. I was 5-8.
Right.
So what happened this year? So I scored 1,438 points.
Okay.
And I was sixth in scoring. So I was really right in the middle of a 12-team league. Now, that equals, conveniently, 110 points.
Right.
Which means I probably should have been about 6-7 or 7-6.
Right.
Right?
So you lost one coin flip, basically, and ended up 5-8.
Yeah, at least one.
Maybe two.
One and a half, let's say.
Yeah, one and a half.
Yeah. Why did that happen? Well, it looks like, I think what happened is I just got unlucky because the points against total was 1,580, which was the highest in the league, and it's 121 points per week.
Okay.
So I'm scoring 110 on average, and the people I'm playing against are scoring 121.
Right.
So my team was actually not, it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad.
Right.
And I just got really unlucky.
Okay.
It's really hard to make it to the playoffs when you have almost 1,600 points scored against you in this type of league.
Right.
It's pretty
The other thing to keep in mind here is that, not to like focus on this particular data point, but like when Dave says 120 points on average a week, that means that his generic opponents that played against him had a 70-ish, 65 or 70-ish percentage to win every week against Dave because of the point total they put up.
Yeah, they weren't quite at that 80% range, but they were close.
They were close.
They're getting there.
Yep.
So, and then, you know, if we look at what you did, you were 7-6.
Is this where you trash my team?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to trash your team. There's nothing to trash here, actually.
Yeah.
And this is the point of why I bring this up, because you were 7-6. You scraped into the playoffs.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Your point totals were almost the same as mine, 1,400.
Okay.
You were ninth, okay,
right,
in scoring. So you're like a tiny bit low,
right,
but it was very tight in the middle.
Right.
So you were fine. 108 points on average.
Right.
That comes out to points against 1,440. Which was seventh, that's 109. So actually, you were scoring almost as many points as your opponents on average. You had almost exactly a 50% win rate.
And so did my opponents.
And so did your opponents.
Yeah.
And you ended up with a record that reflects that, 7-6.
Right.
So you won one coin flip over being average, and that's what got you into the playoffs.
Yes.
So
interesting. I mean,
your team did what it should have done.
Yeah. Yeah, the results were the same.
So... Yeah, so
can I digress for one second on the coin flip?
Yeah.
Do you remember last week when we talked about Adrian, my wife and I, playing that matchup?
And her crushing you?
No, the one where I lost by a single quarterback passing yard.
Yeah.
Let's get back to our annoying ways to lose segment really fast. So there was a stat correction, and I actually won that matchup.
Okay, you're going to have to explain this.
I don't know if I can explain it. I never looked up what the stat correction was.
Because if I'm remembering this correctly, you had a tied score at a 0.1 decimal or whatever,
right,
one decimal
place. Win.
It gave her a win on her phone.
Right, and it said that the difference between our score was 0.04 points to the second decimal place. On Tuesday, it said that. And then on Wednesday, the stat changed again. There was a stat correction, and she had one full point less than I did. So something happened.
Yeah.
Somebody lost 10 yards or something like that. But there was a stat correction where she lost a point and I won by 1 point.
That is
crazy. There's the coin
flip.
So
it took till Wednesday to actually resolve that.
Yeah. So
you
just
were
keep
through
in mind,
waivers and you didn't even know that you
won. Yeah, we didn't know until Wednesday that I had won.
That's I've never heard of that before. Yeah, that is crazy. So weird. I mean, I've seen people come in basically in ties before, but I've never seen it tie, almost tie, come down to two decimal places and then reverse.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
That's real weird.
All right, anyway, so not to take up too much time on that, but I just thought listeners might be interested in the end of the story. The tens of listeners that were with us for the first chapter of that story. So let's talk about the teams that were good in this league instead of the ones that were kind of mediocre.
I've got two. Your sister,
right,
who finished 11-2 and won the regular season.
Correct.
We have a little kind of a screwy rule with this league.
Yeah, our regular season winner is our champion.
Is our actual winner because we think it's more harder fair to win.
And more fair, I think, to reward the person who wins the regular season.
Yeah. And so she finished 11-2.
We're hardcore. You know that.
Are we?
Yeah. Well, we're doing a podcast. Yeah. So.
So she had 1,473 points. She finished fourth. But I think the reason why she got so many wins is because she actually had very few points scored against her. She was really lucky. 1,354, which was 11th.
Mm.
So she should have gotten at least 10 wins with that, I think, because there were so few against her.
But she did. She got 11.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you should. Her points were a little bit above average, and she just had weak opponents the whole year. But the really unlucky, the unlucky person, the flip side of this, is our friend Mark.
Right.
Who scored the most points, averaged 125.
Wow, so he averaged an 80% expected win, basically, or like 75.
Basically 80% or really close to it. But he just got super unlucky and, you know, he had 1,400 points scored against him, which averaged to 108. So he was, which was ninth. So although he had so many points scored, he actually didn't have that many points scored against him. So I think what happened is week over week, he just lost by a tiny amount
a couple of times.
Yep. And then when he won, he crushed people. So Mark, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, but he finished what, 10-3?
He was second.
But he finished 10-3, right?
No, he finished 8-5, and that was good enough to be.
He was second with 8-5.
Yeah,
wow,
I know.
Crazy.
That's what I said. The league is super tight. It's a very competitive league.
All right.
So,
well, I think that was cool to hear, like, hey, the math actually worked out. And check out the article. Well, I mean the math actually matched some of what we talked about earlier, just as far as benchmarking team performance goes. So if you do want to read that article, if you're a newer listener and you haven't heard before, it's on our Medium blog, articles.fantasyoutliers.com, and it is called How Many Points Are Enough? So ready to get into week 14 talks?
Let's do it. What do you want to talk about first?
You ask me that every week. We go in the same order every week.
Yeah.
What's the most important position?
I'm just waiting for you to improv something.
Yeah.
Let's start with kickers or something.
We have our new kicker rankings available, and they're hot off the presses.
That is something we will never
now,
spend
Now, the sad part is that
on.
Matt Ryan was at the top, and now we can't really talk about it because he's playing right now. Anyway,
skip it.
Quarterbacks. Week 14 quarterbacks are back.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I want to apologize for bashing Blake Bortles.
You want to start there?
We can. You want to do
you
something
want to start
else?
There?
No, that's fine. Go.
Well, wait. Ring, 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 ring. Oh, my phone is ringing. Sorry. Hello? Yeah, he's here too. Yeah. Blake. I know. Look, we said we'd talk about it. Well, I know. We already apologized on social media. We're not saying that. No, we're not saying. Okay, fine. Talk later. Bye. Bye, Blake.
Was that Blake Bortles?
I was Blake Shelton.
Oh, okay.
Actually. No.
Was he mad about the Blake Bortles rank?
He was mad about the Blake Bortles rank. He said, now why can't you guys just tell everybody how juicy Blake Bortles is?
It's a juicy match.
We're definitely making that t-shirt. Now, here's the thing. Mathbox nailed Blake Bortles last week.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And we did not get it. Like, we were like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Had him at number three, and we just talked everybody off.
And he finished at number three.
He finished at number three.
Look,
everyone around him was different, but he was number three.
We have no idea if we talked down, you just said we talked everybody off of it. It could be that people listen to us and hear that MathBox says something and we disagree and they go, trust the spreadsheet.
Yeah,
I don't trust these dummies.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
We don't know if we talked anybody out of it, but it was pretty interesting and definitely something that I was like, ugh.
Yeah. Why is MathBox saying this? Oh, now we got to explain it or at least talk about it because right. It's like, it's glaring.
Well, here's the thing is that it's actually happened multiple times this year, specifically with Blake Bortles and with a number of different quarterbacks where we've had this kind of outlier quarterback appear in the top 10 and you and I both go, meh, and then
it happens.
And it's been pegged pretty well. So we're definitely going to do some evaluations of the algorithm after this year to figure out, you know, try to make, put some rigor into like Dave and I, like trying to make sure that we're not cherry picking results when we see this stuff, but it was definitely interesting. And it was at least the second or third time that it happened with Bortles.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about this week.
Okay.
Don't start Blake Bortles this week.
Yeah.
Please. I'm asking you, I know he had a huge game this week. Don't do it.
MathBox has him all the way down this week at 15.
Yeah.
So, I think with the reason for this, I think it's basically saying his run is over because he's playing Seattle.
Right.
And Seattle looked pretty fierce last week. So despite all the injuries, they're actually playing. They played great against the Eagles. And I think you can be fine to sit Bortles this week, basically.
And I totally agree. I do think that there's some interesting stuff going on down around him, though, because if he's at 15, okay. And let's say you're somebody who's in a deep league or you're in a 12-team league and everybody's still playing right now because the consolation bracket is competitive or whatever. Or we got a little cluster of guys there. Kirk Cousins, Andy Dalton, Blake Bortles, Josh McCown, Derek Carr in the kind of 13 to 17 range. Mm-hmm. My question is, who do you start out of those? Let's leave Kirk Cousins out of it.
Okay.
But who do you start out of Dalton, Bortles, McCown, and Carr?
Dalton, Bortles, McCown. Well, I'm not starting Carr because I don't think he's not been that good. He's been okay, but not what you expected, right? McCown has kind of been really good lately. I think he'd be my first choice, but he is playing Denver. You know, Denver is a weird one, though, because you expect them to be good. And they're just playing way under what they should be. I think Denver's just kind of a tragedy this year,
in some ways.
Offense and defense.
Yep.
You know, it's like they can't get it together on offense, and the defense just like, I don't know what's going on, but it seems like they just don't care anymore or something. So I wouldn't be too afraid of that. I think I'd pick McCown, actually.
Okay.
I'm not super confident on it, though.
I think for me, I'm probably I go McCown too. For a second, I was about to say Dalton if I was trying to stream somebody out of this
against
this
Chicago
group, but I think I'm on McCown too.
Yeah, I don't care
that Carr. I've highlighted up on the big screen that Dave and I use for notes here that Derek Carr is playing Kansas City, which is a great matchup for quarterbacks. Supposedly, Carr has done nothing for months. It feels like.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
this whole season.
If you are in the playoffs, I hope you're not starting.
I hope you have a better quarterback.
I hope you have a better quarterback.
But you know what?
Because these guys are pretty far down there. These are in solid streamer, on the edge of streamer territory.
I have 100% made leagues where I stream quarterback the whole year and stream bad quarterbacks the whole year. And
with
people like
you just
Jay
play
Cutler
the matchups the whole
before.
Time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I think I would be looking at McCown this week too. I got an outside shot at a name that I didn't mention, which is Marcus Mariota against Arizona. Might be somebody I would take a look at, too.
Also terrible. A terrible defense.
Terrible defense. Sketchy guy. But if you're looking for a outside the top 12 streaming candidate, I think it's probably McCown or Mariota for me. But
yeah, I might buy that.
So what other things are interesting to you in quarterbacks now that we talked about streamers and Blake Bortles?
Yeah.
And took an angry phone call.
I did think the Tyrod Taylor rank was a little bit interesting. He's at 12 on our list. He did get hurt, I think, at the end of that game last week. But I think he's going to play. Assuming he plays, he is up against Indy.
Yeah.
And that is a pretty good matchup. We've seen a lot of people blow them up. So I don't disagree with Mathbox right now on this one. It's purely because of the matchup.
Yeah, so back end quarterback one, Tyrod Taylor could be your guy too if he's somebody who's on your roster. One thing that I noticed looking at our rankings this week is that the spread of matchups for quarterbacks this week for the first round of the playoffs in particular is kind of bad.
You mean there's good a lot quarterbacks of, with bad matchups?
There's a lot of quarterbacks at the top of the rankings with bad matchups, which is sort of interesting and a little bit kind of scary to see for you know, having a guy like, let's say, Carson Wentz, who we have going up against the Rams, who are the third best against quarterbacks at number, I think he's at number 11 this week. It's the, you know, he didn't have a great game last week. He's been really carrying one of my teams, and it's like, ugh, I was really counting on him to just be there through the whole thing, and I just don't know if it's going to happen. I'm not sitting him, but it's definitely one of those things where I'm just kind of like...
If you don't have a better option, I mean, yeah, that's it's problematic for Carson Wentz, for Roethlisberger playing Baltimore as well.
Yeah, who's another right person who's like, streamer city.
And then we've got, at the top of the list, Cam against Minnesota, which is not a good matchup. He's number 2 in Mathbox.
Yeah.
And then actually the one I've been watching all year because I own him in two leagues is Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Who's going against the worst defense in Jacksonville, who are
the
playing hot.
Most difficult defense, I should say.
Yeah, the most difficult. They are the worst defense for a quarterback to play.
Right.
And so, you know, there's been a decent amount of debate about what to do with Russell Wilson this week, considering it's the playoffs, considering it's the worst defense to play a quarterback against. I don't have any better options because I've been riding him all year just because, like, you don't, once he got hot, then I'm never going to take him out. So I think I'm starting him, but,
he's like the fantasy MVP this year, I think for the teams that have him. Like, I just don't know how you could consider even in a terrible matchup.
Yeah. And it's kind of like play your studs time.
It is.
I mean, play the guys that got you there.
I'm looking at scoring leaders right now, and Russell Wilson is 25 points ahead of Carson Wentz, who's the second highest scorer in fantasy this year.
Yeah.
25 points. He scored 280 points in the format that I'm looking at here. It's
he's been great.
He's been great. I just don't think you can do it.
But I hate
And that's a reminder too that I ain't sitting Carson Wentz. I'm worried about it. I'm just going for it and see what happens.
Yeah.
So last couple of people to talk about. So we talked about Kirk Cousins a second ago. And at 14 against a Chargers defense
red
as
hot
well.
Chargers defense. What?
That's so tough. I have this team that I've talked about a couple times here where it's like Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith are the two quarterbacks that I have, and I pick the wrong one every week. So now, you know, last week Cousins was higher and he did worse than Smith. Now Smith is higher and I'm looking at it. I'm like, am I going to get back on the Alex Smith train? Alex Smith is number 4, one of the only good top 10 matchups.
But
that
he has a very good matchup
against Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be starting Alex Smith for sure.
Yeah. I probably will, but I'm just saying it's an interesting thing to see Cousins kind of like falling out of that top 12 after a long while of being solidly in it. So I think that's one where I might believe it, given that last week he was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over Thanksgiving he was also kind of just okay. So I would be I'd be taking a look maybe to see if I could spot start somebody over Cousins if I had him.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
So you're gonna start Alex Smith.
I'm gonna start Alex Smith. Any other thoughts on quarterbacks?
The only thing that I wanted to mention, which is not related to just the Geno Smith thing, which is actually, I mean, he played. He actually wasn't nearly as bad as I thought he was going to be.
Right.
Mathbox doesn't really have an opinion because he's kind of off the radar.
But Eli's starting next week.
Eli is starting next week because we fired Ben McAdoo. So,
oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's back. They broke his consecutive start streak for no reason. Just so stupid. Anyway, it actually didn't really affect Evan Engram or Sterling Shepard that much. And
right.
Engram had a great game. So, you know, whoops.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those, hey, he checked down to the tight end a whole bunch because he's Geno Smith. Everybody should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
You never know.
But he wasn't that much worse than Manning.
Right. Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
Anyway.
The last person I think we should point out on here is... your boy that we spent some time talking about over the last couple of weeks, Case Keenum.
Yeah.
For Minnesota is at number 21 this week in MathBox. I know a bunch of people have been using him. He's getting a lot of starts and all that kind of stuff. I think this is a good like red alert.
Yeah.
To take a look and be like, am I really going to do it in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Am I going to do it in the playoffs against Carolina? Am I sure?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I kind of agree. I think MathBox might be onto something here because he's had a very good run. He's been really consistent. Carolina, good secondary. They've got a couple of corners that are playing really well. Mm-hmm. And I think this, again, I think this might be the end of his run.
All right.
So at least for this week, I mean, Carolina's a good defense. I feel like they're recently playing better than their rank, their 10th against quarterbacks.
Yep.
I just have a feeling that it's just not going to work out this time.
Here's what I want to say about all these guys like this, though. When you play fantasy, you probably had a great run this season with Case Keenum. Maybe he saved your team. Maybe you drafted a quarterback who turned out to be bad and you picked up Keenum and he brought you into the playoffs and like you're feeling some loyalty. This is the type of player that you should not feel a lot of loyalty to because he's still probably just a streamer.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. He's been too solid.
But this week you were sort of just advocating for.
I think this is this week.
So that's kind of what I'm saying is I wouldn't rush out to drop him, but you should be evaluating a player like Case Keenum every week to see if you really believe whether he's a start or not. He's not somebody that you can sleepwalk into your lineup every week,
right?
Even though he might be starting to feel like it over the last mm-hmm. few.
Yeah, he's had a bunch of high games in a row and you feel like, oh man, maybe I don't even have to think about it. Maybe it's an automatic start like a Brady would be or something, but he's not, obviously he's not at that level. And part of this too is that, you know,
and in fact, in scoring, total scoring, he's also not on that level. He's top 15 in total scoring. He's not 10. He's not 12.
Yeah.
He's in streamer territory in scoring as well.
But, and this is getting into his targets, his wide receivers are ranked low too.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. So let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I think that's called foreshadowing or a tease.
Everybody knows I'm a tease.
All right, on to running backs. Running out of running backs. I think let's just talk about who's at the top of this list for a minute. We got LeSean McCoy.
Yep.
Melvin Gordon. Fournette. Ingram, who's playing right now.
Back in the top 10.
And Lamar Miller as our top five this week. The one that was kind of surprising to me there was Miller, but it's mostly on the strength of an incredible matchup against San Francisco.
Against San Francisco, yeah. Who actually looked pretty, well, better against the Bears last week, and Jordan Howard sort of didn't do anything against him.
Right.
Against them.
Right.
But that might be more about the Bears than about San Francisco.
Right.
So that's
definitely possible.
I think that's what MathBox is saying here. Is that San Francisco is still a juicy matchup.
Yep, they believe. It still believes. So I think, you know, looking for some good points out of Miller this year, he's been like running back 10 or 12 kind of so far this year in total points scoring, and getting a little extra out of him this week, it could be something that you could look forward to. We did, you know, you probably know this if you're playing this week, but we were watching the game earlier and Alvin Kamara from the Saints is actually out with a concussion after the first quarter. So he's ranked in the top 20 this week. He's actually pretty low in MathBox. Not like you can change anything right now, but sorry if you got by that. Kind of, unfortunately, it's fantasy football.
Yeah, it was the first drive too. So
yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it. You got nothing out of him, my bad.
So who knows? We're going to check in a little bit. Maybe Ingram's having a monster game at that moment. Maybe he's, maybe not. But we have him in the top five as well. After that, the next five are Todd Gurley, number one scorer in fantasy this year. So, you know,
don't mess with
that, even though he is also in a really bad matchup. So we have the best quarterback and the best running back in terrible, terrible matchups this week.
But you have to start him.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no situation.
Well, we have him ranked at six, so it's not.
Yeah. It's not meant to scare you away. It's just a bad matchup.
Yep. Jordan Howard after that.
Against Cincinnati.
which is a good matchup.
It's a pretty good matchup.
Howard's looked sort of ineffective.
Yeah, the last two games, he's had almost no yards.
Yeah. They've gone to Cohen a couple of times and is like changing up the game plan.
Cohen is just so electric. He is.
Yeah. I'm a little bit off the hype from earlier this year.
Come on. Did you see him?
Yeah.
Did you see that punt return?
Yes. I did see that. It was amazing.
It was ridiculous.
I mean, hey, I'm all for hailing the return of Darren Sproles plus Devin Hester to Chicago. Yeah. But, you know, that player is never going to be, most likely not ever going to be a top 10 fantasy player.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that.
Good player.
I agree with that. But he is fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So electric.
He's so electric.
You know, I just like to hammer you when you bring the ESPN phrases in.
Is that an ESPN thing?
Kind of. Don't you think it kind of is?
I don't know.
He.
I feel like it's a sports phrase.
He knows the way to play the game right.
Oh my gosh. I don't say that stuff.
No, you don't. So number 8, we have Kareem Hunt, Le'Veon Bell at number 9.
Which is
Jamal
a little
Williams
surprising.
Number 10. Le'Veon Bell at number 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, hey, it's still top 10. MathBox doesn't like the matchup against Baltimore much. And yeah. So that shouldn't change you off of it. The one thing that surprised me.
If it had him
me,
at 20, I might think about it, but.
You can't sit Le'Veon Bell.
No, you're not going to sit Le'Veon Bell.
The thing that it does there is, like I've said before, like when you evaluate a stud player who supposedly has a bad matchup or a bad projection from MathBox, I think you have to stop and go, okay, what do I do to mitigate the downside risk that MathBox is telling me there might be around my stud? And if that's
with other players,
Yeah. Right. So if that's trying to play some higher variance players in other slots or playing people with higher floors and lower ceilings, like those are the two strategies that you have. I think you have to determine which one you think is right in a given matchup. Cause I think depending on what's going on, either one could be right, but it is the type of thing that puts a decision back on your plate for a week, not related to Bell, for example, but related to your roster in general. Some pretty deep, like
deep strategy,
but something to think about. The thing that I wanted to point out on this one is Kareem Hunt at number 8.
Yeah.
Still
tough.
MathBox.
It's not giving up.
It's not giving up. I don't know. Like, it definitely feels like in the kind of industry the last couple of weeks, people have been starting to be like, ugh, am I really going to start Hunt anymore?
Yeah,
like,
he's not an automatic start.
Yeah.
I mean, he really isn't. Like, he has been pretty weak since week 8.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. I mean, he's been basically below 10 points, at or below 10 points since then. And he's had a decent volume in some of these games, 18 touches, 22 touches. I mean, some of the games have been really slim, like 9 or whatever. But yeah, he's just not doing it. And I honestly, if he was on my team and I got to the playoffs, because I don't have him, but if I did and those first 6 games or 8 games or whatever were awesome and he hasn't done anything since, I would sit him. I would do anything I could to not play Kareem Hunt.
Wow, that's quite a strong statement.
But look at it. Like,
yeah.
Do you really want to roll into the playoffs with a guy who, with a RB1, quote unquote, that could get you 8 points?
Well,
I mean, because that's what the last few weeks are saying.
Yes. So I this is another like roster decision or like slotting kind of thing. I think that you said sit. I think it's really, really tough to sit Kareem Hunt. I think constructing your roster for the week around the idea that he is not your running back one, that's essential. You cannot believe that Kareem Hunt is your running back one.
Yeah.
You cannot believe that believe that he's a running back two.
Okay, so that's fine. But I have a little bit of issue with thinking about it in that way, because it kind of doesn't matter what you call him. Like, if you start him, it doesn't matter if you think he's an RB1 or a flex. Like, he's taking up a roster spot that could produce points.
Yeah.
So if you're going to start him, he better be good.
Yep.
You know, unless you have another RB1 sitting in the waiting somewhere that you just, you know, whatever. You're just absolutely stacked at running back.
Yep.
But.
Yeah, but that's
I would try to avoid it if he was on my team.
Yeah, just full punt, huh?
I would.
All right, so where do you think he finishes this week then? So we have
you're
going
to make
eight.
Me make a call. Well, see, the matchup is decent. I feel like he'll do a little better than previous weeks, but not by much.
Okay.
I think he might get like 12 points.
Okay.
I don't think he'll score.
So 12 points in MathBox is RB 20. It's in the 20s. It's basically Isaiah Crowell. You start to Isaiah Crowell over Kareem Hunt right now?
Maybe not exactly Isaiah Crowell.
How about Kerwin Williams, who had a monster game last week? He's got some injury concerns, but he might
play.
It's
tough. You know, it's pretty tough down in this range. I don't know. Here's the thing. You might have better players than this than you can start. It doesn't mean that you have to replace him with a guy that's at this level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a fair question, I don't think.
I think it's a fair question. I think that there you are starting, every team is starting someone from this bucket on their team, unless they're like those obscene teams where someone ends up with Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette on the same team because nobody drafted rookies or something crazy like that. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, like, I think you're starting Kareem Hunt. I just think that you better be prepared to have somebody better. Hopefully you got like Jamal Williams and you're starting him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and he's your running back, quote unquote, running back one. Samaje Perine, who we have at 12 this week, similar situation. Great, great matchup. Kind of believe more in what he's been doing lately. And, you know, hopefully you're starting Perine over Hunt in your quote unquote RB1 slot. And you're slotting Hunt in as your flex. And then you're doing something else with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dave's still looking at me skeptically. Yeah, Dave just wants to sit Kareem Hunt. All right, how many points do you want out of Kareem Hunt? Like, I kind of want to prop bet you here.
Oh, yeah?
How many? So you think 12 points makes Kareem Hunt worth the start?
Yeah, 10 to 14, so I'll pick 12.
Okay. I'm going to take the... I think 10.
See, you're not even sure.
I would take the over on 10, the under on 12. So I think he scores between 10 and 12 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where the start. That's an RB2. 10 to 12 is an RB2 with a chance for a touchdown.
Yeah, I guess so.
So
that's enough time on
Kareem Hunt is your RB2.
Fine.
What else do you think is interesting in running back this week?
Well, we have Jamal Williams. What is that?
That's 12.
12?
Yeah.
Is it? The only note I would put in put on that one is I did hear some...
Sorry, that's 10th.
Sorry.
Anyway,
okay,
go ahead.
10th. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I did hear some reports this week that if Aaron Jones is completely ready,
yeah,
that he's going to pretty much take that over.
Right away?
That's what I heard. So,
you never,
I don't know, but yeah. He only had two snaps last game, and one of them was a game-winning touchdown. So, not that that actually matters, but I think the Jamal Williams thing might be a little risky this week, just because of, but that's something that, like, I think everyone should look into themselves.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep an eye on the injury reports and see what people are saying,
yeah.
Practice reports and stuff like that, make a decision. Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
At 14.
I think he's good to go.
He's been good for me.
Yeah,
I've been starting him for weeks in one league. And yeah.
I do think that Miami will get destroyed by New England, but you know, he might still be all right.
Yeah, that does, you get into that like game flow kind of thing, and then the running back suddenly becomes less important. But
yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell what's gonna happen. That's a dangerous game to do, try to predict game flow.
On this one, I'm inclined to just say, like, okay, MathBox says that Kenyon Drake is an RB2, and I'm just going to be thankful I picked one up off the waiver wires and give it a try.
Yeah.
Because in the league where I've been starting Kenyon Drake for a long time, if I'm still alive right now, I'm playing the I got to get lucky game, and Kenyon Drake is part of that equation.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, sure.
Hey.
You're very happy to have Kenyon Drake at this point.
Right.
Pick him up this late in the year and actually be starting him.
Agree. I kind of hate DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry being in the at the end of our top 20, basically, here, right next to each other. It's pretty gross. 16 and 17, both ranked above Alvin Kamara and Joe Mixon.
I think Joe Mixon is sort of nuts.
And clearly, you're going to start Kamara over both of those guys,
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah.
Kamara's a different story, although we know what happened.
He got a concussion.
But, yeah, I don't love Murray as or Henry as an RB2, and I would probably try to avoid starting those guys. Those are guys I would want to not start in the same way that you were talking about with white hot rage, not wanting to start Kareem Hunt. But that's just me.
No, I agree. I totally agree. And, Mixon got concussed last week. I actually don't know the injury status currently. I don't know if he's cleared concussion protocol or not, but he did look good before he got knocked out.
Yeah.
As he has all year, I think. So we'll just wait and see what happens with that. But Gio Bernard was pretty good in his absence, actually.
Yeah, there I do remember now that there's been some talk about picking up Gio this week because of Mixon. So you should definitely keep an eye on Mixon versus Gio and kind of see how that works
out. We're way past waivers here.
So, yeah, we are.
But if Gio is still available, I mean, he was like 20% owned like a day or two ago. So, you know, they play the Bears, not the scariest matchup. They're beatable. And Gio is really talented. Like he is I think he's kind of like a Tariq Cohen kind of a dude.
He's just been like around. He's just kind of a boring name now, unfortunately.
But true. But he can do it. Like, he has done it in the past. So, if Mixon does sit, you know, I probably wouldn't be too afraid to start Bernard.
Yeah, Gio can pop off and have a game.
Yeah,
for
sure.
We do need to talk about Peyton Barber, who we have in our top 20. Big streamer person this week.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that I'm pulling the trigger on him. But man, if I was somebody who is really trying to patch it together at running back, I would be thrilled that Mathbox has him this high in a really good matchup against
Detroit.
So something to keep in mind. We have him at 20 this week. You may be, if your league is sleeping on it, which they probably aren't in the playoffs, but you never know. Barber might be somebody who you could go out and grab, or maybe somebody you grabbed a couple days ago.
Yeah, well, the other thing about the playoffs that's kind of interesting is you have basically half of your league that stopped playing and isn't picking people up anymore.
Right.
So these waiver wire pickups, they're a lot easier.
And sometimes people are so stacked that they don't even bother doing
the good
hot
teams
things.
Don't worry about it sometimes.
Right. So, tough to say.
I like that call, though. That's sneaky.
Peyton Barber 20?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too. I'm definitely going to be looking at him at flex in the leagues that I have him.
I did like your phone call from Blake Bortles.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you like that I told you it was actually Blake Shelton?
I did like that.
The sexiest man alive calling me.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Who says he's the sexiest man? You?
People Magazine, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
No. It's not like National Geographic or Time or something.
I don't think it's like a quantitative thing. I think it's like a qualitative thing. I think they pick the person with the best PR agent and put them on the cover.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, you're right. That's how that works.
Yeah
it's who has the sexiest PR agent.
Yeah, who has the best press releases? We put them on the front and good tattoos. You know, like I'm just gonna take one little minute to talk about Blake Shelton here.
Okay.
Have you ever watched The Voice?
I have unfortunately watched The Voice.
Like. I watched the tryout rounds before. Like, the tryout rounds, I think, are kind of fun.
Is that
the
ones where they embarrass people?
No, they don't embarrass people. It's actually, like, pretty positive. Like, they have people come out and try to sing, and then they're like, man, I really liked you, or I didn't like you. So Blake Shelton on the show seems like a cool, charismatic guy. I have literally never heard a Blake Shelton song in my life. I don't know how he ended up on this show. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's, like, the guy from Maroon 5 and Alicia Keys. I know those people.
Who is
and
that
like
dude?
Christina Aguilera, and who's this guy?
Is it,
who's like super popular suddenly now that he's on this show?
I think it's the whole country music thing. Like, it's a whole world that like we're not. It exists, but we're not allowed to be involved in it.
Yeah, how do you think his albums did on Pitchfork?
Probably about as good as the last Everclear album.
Oh,
I don't know. Are they still a band?
No,
I don't know.
It's been a while. Okay, wide receivers. What do you want to talk about on wide receivers?
I was just Everclear made me think. Do you know who the worst band of the 90s was?
Mm.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
I don't. I think if I had not had a real week this week, I think I could be able to put this together. But who is it?
I will.
Is it a band that I like?
No.
Okay.
It's all right. I will put out there in the world that I think The Offspring is the worst band of the 90s.
I kind of agree. I do kind of agree.
In hindsight,
yeah,
they were so bad.
Yeah.
You know who else was terrible?
Well, wait, I don't want to get off The Offspring for a second here. Right. Let's talk about The Offspring for a second. Offspring was like kind of a sort of esteemed punk band on Epitaph.
Esteemed?
They were on for their first couple albums. Like they like
were they?
Kind of.
Okay. Well,
they were on like an indie label, and then they crossed over after they did that "Gotta Keep Them Separated" song.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they do songs that are like ripoffs of "Obla Di Obla Da," and like they're on MTV.
You remember
and, like,
those? Remember those
so
mashups
brutal.
Where they took all their hit songs and put them together, and they totally work. Yeah. Like they're all in the same
it's
key.
Like Nickelback, kind of.
I don't. It was
you
just
know the
so
Nickelback
weird.
Trick.
No, what's that?
You listen to two different Nickelback songs in different earphones, and they sound like they totally go together.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Huh. I've never tried that.
I mean, I've never tried it. Why would I try that?
I don't know.
It's like a meme I read about.
The Offspring are terrible. You know who else I can't stand from the 90s?
Yeah.
This is probably the most annoying band because they're still around.
Yeah.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well...
Come on.
No. I'm 100% with you, but they're like mega stars and
terrible.
I don't get it.
They're so bad. Like,
all of the songs are bad.
Yes. Everything they've done since, I would say, Blood Sugar Sex Magik is bad, with a little tiny piece of Californication that was all right.
They've had decent singles, like here and there, just post Blood Sugar Sex Magik, there were a couple of good songs that were in that kind of like. Like the song, you know, the song from the Coneheads album. Do you remember that song? That's like a great single.
No, that is a good single.
And then they did that. They did that song. And then they were like, okay, this is us now. And we're going to do every song. And now every song with them, the chorus is like, the song is like Anthony Kiedis being like,
every melody is the same.
It's like the same melody over and over again.
They're all ballads. They don't rock anything anymore.
It's like.
So boring.
I've said this many times. I don't understand how they've hung on this long.
Best PR agent.
Sexiest PR agent will make it happen. Mm-hmm. Can we do this for a little bit longer? I have a couple other bands I would like to take out to the woodshed.
What do you got?
311.
No, that was right after The Offspring on my list. 311, in hindsight, was way worse than we thought they were.
Amber is like the worst.
No, it's the worst. And I cleaned out all my CDs. Remember when I was talking like a month or two ago about how I cleaned out all my closets?
Yeah.
I have a lot of CD cases that I threw away, and there are an embarrassing amount of 311 CDs in there.
Like is one?
Like
greater
six
than one?
Or something.
What?
Like all of them.
Six?
Like basically all of them.
God.
Yeah.
Do you remember... So now we might be moving to early 2000s, but do you remember like the spinoff 311 bands that appeared?
No, who's that?
Not bands that were actual spinoffs, but like the knockoff, I guess is what I mean. 311 bands that were like, we're going to take the sweet 311 sound and like continue it. And like, I think Limp Bizkit is kind of that.
You think so?
Yeah, kind
of. Because it's like rock and rap, but like not in a good way.
Yeah.
Not like
a little bit of
Rage
Reggae
the
when
Machine
they want to do it.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But do you remember Crazy Town?
Yeah.
Do you remember the band Crazy Town?
Were they the band with that song Butterfly?
Yeah. The most inexplicable hit I can think of from like late high school, college era.
You could not
Sugar
stop.
Baby.
Yeah.
It's so
bad. It was
bad.
Everywhere.
It's still, you go to bars sometimes. Do you remember when we were in Cincinnati for that bachelor's party? Like in August, and we went to like that the microbrew there, Rheingeist, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
We were out on the deck, we're like hanging out, we had a group of people, it's all these people, and it just became the 311 Spotify radio station was on, and it was like,
it's
seriously,
like this is everything you hate.
Butterfly by Crazy Town came on, and I was like, it's like being back in college 20 years later. Like, what are we doing? I can't believe that came. And also, the people who were behind the bar playing it,
and they
were probably like four. They were like 4 years old when that song came out. Why? Why?
I don't know. You'd think they would know better. Music doesn't necessarily get better over time.
No.
It doesn't evolve.
It often gets worse.
Yeah. It often gets worse.
Okay. Well, I don't know how much of that's going to make it in.
I think the whole thing.
The whole thing.
This is
like going to
be a four-hour podcast.
Of us doing that. Well, we are getting close to the end. Okay. Hey, if you disagree with us,
why don't we just
email us at podcast.fantasyoutliers.com and tell us what you think about Butterfly by Crazy Town. If you got a problem with what I just said, come at me, Crazy Town. I know you're listening. Let's do this. Is that the intro to the podcast?
Yeah.
Come at me, Crazy Town. Okay.
So that was our wide receiver segment.
I hope you learned a lot. Okay, let's actually talk about wide receivers now. Here's what I have to say.
I think I used up all my juice on bashing all these 90 spans.
That was fun.
I've got like one note on wide receivers.
Okay. Wide receivers, let's focus.
All right, breathe. Focus. We stopped doing our meditation.
I know.
To get back to that.
Yep. Here's what I think about wide receivers.
Yeah.
This list, I'm going to read the top 10 real quick. Antonio Brown, Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Jarvis Landry, AJ Green, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks, Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
I'm okay starting most of these, all of these guys.
All of them.
They're all startable. Dez in the top 10 still makes me a little nervous. He's been real hard to pin down this year, and I think he's more a wide receiver too, unfortunately, with the way things are working these days.
Yeah, I agree. But
I'm still starting him even in the playoffs.
I am. And also, I'm looking at the guys below him, and I'm not seeing anybody that I'm super comfortable starting over.
So let's talk about who's below him that I have a lot of questions about. If you go all the way down here in MathBox rankings to number 22, you finally find Adam Thielen.
This is what I was saying.
And you go even lower, and you finally find
Stephon Diggs somewhere like 12 spots lower than him.
He's like 36.
Yeah. So this is, you know what this is saying. It means MathBox thinks they're going to get hammered.
MathBox does not believe in Case Keenum this week. MathBox does not believe in Thielen or Diggs. MathBox also, by the way, you know, one thing we forgot to talk about in running backs, also does not believe in Christian McCaffrey at all this week. Christian McCaffrey, who is the number like 16 scoring running back in PPR this year, is at like number 30 mm-hmm. for us this week.
So,
I do not know what's going on with that.
Well, I think this might be related to the update that Chris did in the modeling. Because I don't know if this made it into this model, but we were talking about tying quarterback performance to the skill position players.
Okay.
And I think what it might be doing is just taking them all down at once because it just thinks they're going to get crushed.
So it thinks that Case Keenum is going to get hammered by Carolina.
Or it thinks Carolina is just super strong and they're not going to be able to. I don't know.
Man.
I mean, it is a very low ranking for all of these players, obviously. It when MathBox says things like this that are so definitive and they're so different than what everybody else is going to say, it really makes me think about whether I believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I'm sorry. I realized I just made it sound like a second ago that Christian McCaffrey was on Minnesota when he's actually on Carolina. So,
oh, you know,
to be
I didn't catch that either.
To be clear, McCaffrey, Carolina, also very low this week. So I don't know what MathBox thinks is going to happen in this game. It does make me wonder if I believe it as well.
Well, okay.
You know, this is one of those things where I feel like,
would you not start Thielen though?
But if he's been like,
he's supposedly the safest guy, I would say, of those players.
Yeah. I mean, if he's been killing it for you all year, it's real tough for me to roll up and be like, hey, you know, you should start Jamison Crowder over Thielen this year, this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey,
that would be tough.
You should start Kenny Stills, who MathBox has at 14.
So this is what I would say about it.
12.
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I believe that Adam Thielen would be replaced by someone in that range on one of my teams in the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
All it would do is give me pause about playing him or Diggs. Like, if I had a better guy than Diggs, I'd probably start him.
That's a sit.
No,
Diggs is a sit in MathBox.
They're all solid sit.
No, Thielen is a wide receiver too, but by the time you get down to the 30s in wide receiver,
oh yeah, okay, fine.
It's basically a flex or a sit, and once you can put running backs and tight ends in there, it becomes like a much bigger pool of players at flex, right? So it gets dicey.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have a tough time sitting Thielen after the year he's had.
I would too, but I think I could sit Diggs if I thought I had a better option.
I kind of agree with that. I kind of feel like what this is really telling us, if we look at all the different players, because actually Devin Funchess is very low. He's number 21. I kind of think it's saying, buckle up, this Minnesota-Carolina game is going to
be... It's going to be brutal.
It's going to be... Oh, yeah.
I could see that.
It kind of makes me want to stop, and I'm not going to do it, but you should... If you're a listener, you should go look at it. I picked this up from a different podcast. I'm just going to say I heard this on the Chris Harris podcast, which I think is an interesting idea. Take a look at what the over-under is.
Yeah, the lines for the games.
The points, not the over-under. You know, like where you bet the total number of points in a game.
To see if Vegas thinks it's going to be...
A high-scoring game or a low-scoring game.
No, I like that.
I would take a look and see what they think. Because if Mathbox... It looks to me like Mathbox thinks it's going to be a low-scoring game. So take a look and see what Vegas thinks and see if they believe it too. Yeah, thanks, cousin Josh, frequent contributor to the Chris Harris podcast. But I think it's a good way to check and see, because this is some weird stuff going on with people on these teams. The only person who has been penalized in this matchup is Cam Newton for some reason.
Who's
at number two?
Yeah.
I don't know. So that was the biggest thing that stuck out to me in wide receivers this week, is that Mathbox hates the
Minnesota-Carolina game.
And specifically Minnesota wide receivers have been very good this year.
I do need to apologize for AJ Green.
On behalf of him? Or
No. No, I'm not apologizing on behalf of him.
Is there another phone call coming in?
I'm going to apologize for Mathbox's ranking of AJ Green last week, which was very low.
It was like 18 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was even lower than that or something. But he had a huge game, and sorry if you... I mean, you shouldn't be sitting him, but it was those rankings that gave me pause.
Yeah, he's got a good matchup against Chicago this week, top 10 ranking for Mathbox.
He's fine.
Get push forward.
Yeah.
What do you think about Kenny Stills being in 12? In a very good matchup against New England. This is very similar to the Kenny and Drake is suddenly in the top zone.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm not super familiar with what Kenny Stills has done this year, so I need to be careful with what I say.
Yeah.
But I will say that he's, against New England, they've been playing a lot better in recent weeks. So I don't think that matchup is as juicy as...
It was earlier.
Yeah, because they were awful at the beginning of the year. And actually, they've, I think, kind of been actually playing pretty well recently. So I'm not going to make a definitive call on this, but I will say the matchup is worse than it appears.
Well, let me throw a couple names at you. Alshon Jeffrey or Kenny Stills?
Who's Jeffrey playing?
The Rams.
That's tough. I don't know. I'd probably go Jeffrey, but I'm not super confident about it.
Okay. Golden Tate, Kenny Stills.
Golden Tate.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because he's going against Tampa Bay.
It
depends a little bit on Stafford, because everybody probably already knows this already, but he got his hand stepped on in that game, and it looked... I mean, you could see it's all swollen. Mm. Apparently, he was having trouble throwing. He was at practice, so I'm sure he's going to start, but he may not be as sharp as he usually is.
Yeah, and if there's one thing Matthew Stafford is, it's sharp.
Yeah, yeah. With his sidearm throws.
Yeah, he's always so precise. He's like a surgeon out there. I think it's interesting. I don't think I would move Stills out of the top 20, but at top 12, it does make me feel like there's some people that I would start above him for sure if I had the choice.
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to see if we're right or Mathbox is right.
Yep. Amari Cooper at 14.
It's a little
something
high.
That makes me go, no.
Yeah. I mean, it's just,
I hate Derek Carr being close, being like startable in our league. And I also am very, very worried about Amari Cooper.
But it's also a matchup.
Yeah, it's a very, very good matchup. We didn't talk about Marshawn Lynch in running back either, who had a monster game. I also am not like a super big believer in Marshawn Lynch, and he will be riding the bench in the league that I have him.
Oh, okay. All right.
A little side note.
He had a good line. He had a good stat line last week. But
yeah, it's spent like one of 7 weeks or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
I think he also had one big run. I'm not 100% sure about that. Yeah. But
so I think it's a pass on Amari Cooper for sure. Just get him out of there. Jamison Crowder from Washington finally creeping into the top 20 is pretty interesting. I think that's good. And like, I believe it. He's been really producing. I know that Kirk Cousins is in a bad matchup, but I still think that, you know, Cousins is the type of person who could still put up a bunch of yards, even in a bad matchup without scoring and stuff. And, mm-hmm. and Crowder could be the beneficiary of that. And especially in a, you know, playoff week, it might be a good thing to go with somebody who's with a team that's going to throw a lot. That's it for wide receivers. I think big surprise is Minnesota.
All right, let's do tight ends.
Here we are again at the end of the podcast, the end of the first week of the playoffs. Tight ends, boy, these guys. Well, it's still like such a rogues gallery of just
slot machines.
Yeah, slot machines. Like I said, yeah, they really are slot machines.
We lost one of our slot machines this week, or not our slot machines, our steady guys. Because Gronk was suspended.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Because he has anger problems, apparently.
Yeah, that's so crazy that I mean, I actually have no idea what happened because I didn't get a chance to watch that game. And then I didn't see the reporting.
He was just mad because he felt like there was a lot of penalties that should have been called against them that weren't getting called.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. He just got mad after a play.
Did he hassle a ref or something?
No, he... A guy was on the ground and he jumped on him intentionally, like sort of like body slammed him.
What a dummy. He's been playing in the NFL for like eight years.
The play had been over for 5 seconds or something. There's no reason for it. Anyway, stupid.
That is stupid.
He is suspended for one game officially. He did actually appeal it, which is stupid because he already said it was his fault and apologized.
Right.
So I don't know why you would appeal that, but he lost the appeal.
Yeah.
So it's a one game suspension. He's out. If he's on your team, you know, he was one of the top tight ends up there with Kelce,
Ertz
and Graham, and, you know, one of the top four guys that you start without question every week. You know, what do you do to, if you have him, hopefully you have a backup. I mean, every year.
You wouldn't have a backup.
Well, every year I had Gronk, because of injury concerns, I always tried to have a backup. So I don't know if that's how everyone else played, but he's been pretty solid injury-wise this year. So you probably haven't needed that, but. You probably don't have a backup for him.
Okay.
There was a lot of
extra group of people out there looking for streaming options at tight end because there's probably a lot of people who made the playoffs with Gronk on their team, mm-hmm. honestly.
And there was a lot of conversation about this in the fantasy community this week because it caught everybody so off guard. They're so rock solid. So you know,
I mean, it's a little bit like Odell. Didn't Odell get suspended for a game in the playoffs last year or 2 years ago?
Oh, I don't know. I forgot.
He was mixing it up with Josh Norman, and then...
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, I think that happened similarly, where it was like, oh my God, how am I going to replace him in week 15?
Yeah, so what do you do about Gronk if you lost him? Well, if you don't have a backup, I mean, there's a couple of people that are still out there, potentially, that might be able to fill in. We have Ricky Seals-Jones at 12. Who, look,
boy, oh boy.
Look,
I started Ricky Seals-Jones in the league last week.
I know.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm just throwing out names here that you might even be able to grab.
Yep.
Charles Clay, we have at 11.
Yep.
He's playing Indy, who's 24th against a tight end.
Yep. I like Clay better than Seals-Jones.
You know, I don't know. Ricky Seals-Jones has been better recently, but whatever. And also, we talked about this a couple times. Julius Thomas, we have at 20, which is fairly low, but he's actually been decent. He's getting he's only
total
30,
only
36% owned.
Yeah.
So you could probably grab him. Look, he scored a touchdown last week on 3 catches. You'd probably get about 10 points out of him. He's, you know, been averaged about like 8 or 10 or whatever for the last few weeks.
Middle of the road matchup against New England.
Yeah, so he could potentially be an option. I mean, it is pure desperation mode because anybody who's good has been owned a long time ago. Hunter Henry, we have at 6, who had a pretty good line last week, like 15 points. Of course, it was against Cleveland, so you know
Hunter Henry has a good matchup against Washington this week.
I'm not
week,
sure
though.
What his ownership percentage is, but I'm sure it's pretty high.
It's not streamable.
It's not streamable. Yeah. Man, there's not a whole lot more. I'm trying to give you ideas here, but
no, I'm totally with you. Look, here's the list of people that you could pick up, I think. It's Charles Clay, like Dave said, Ricky Seals-Jones. I think there's an outside shot that somebody might have gotten impatient and dropped Cameron Brate, though I'm not sure about that.
His ownership percentage is lower than you'd think.
Yeah, because he spiked up and had a couple of great games, and now he's back down. I also read that that Brate was on the field less than O.J. Howard these days, yep. Which is also sort of a surprise, but, you know,
so
what do you do?
There's also been a lot of conversation about him being good with Jameis Winston, because mm-hmm. the games that Jameis Winston has been in, Brate has also been good. So that might be a real thing, but the O.J. Howard, you know, him getting more snaps than Brate is also concerning. So I wonder if it's just, if that's a real effect or not.
Yeah.
If it's a correlation, not a causation.
Totally.
But that's for you to decide.
I would take a shot. I would honestly take a look at Jesse James, too, from Pittsburgh, if I was looking in that bracket. And then, like Dave said, the last one's probably Julius Thomas. So there's a few names for you to look at if you're working the waiver wire right now. Those people basically are comprised of who I think the best of the best are out of our 10th to 20th tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the other people that made it into the top 10. It is the normal list, but it's Kelsey. Gronk is out. He was number two, but he's out this week, of course. Ertz, Doyle, Walker, Henry, Graham, Ingram, Rudolph. Totally normal group of people who you expect to see.
Yeah.
And if you have those guys, you should be totally confident. Not totally confident, but like, hey, Kelsey and Ertz, confidence. Everybody else, I'm okay, and I hope that I get something with that. Yeah. Below that, I'm working the 10-1 odds to see what happens.
How great of a year has Jack Doyle had, being at the basically 5 to 10 in our ranks?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like
for a lot of the year,
Doyle and Ingram are like symbols of what always happens in tight end, which is basically there's always two guys in the top seven who nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little unfair because Jack Doyle's been around for a couple of years. But
sure. I mean, Ingram's a rookie, so that's a little different. But
right.
And it's mostly situational. I mean, it's not like there's that many people in Indy that can catch passes.
Right.
You know?
Well, I know you think T.Y. Hilton can't, so.
Well, no, he can catch passes. It's just whatever.
I don't even want to get into that. Yeah. But at any rate, I think that's kind of the long and short of tight end, unfortunately. There's just not that much movement there, and there won't be. It's try to play the hot hand, pick a matchup you like, and go for it. So it's time to wrap it up. And that's it. Week 14 playoffs. This is the spot where I plead for people to get in contact with us, and I'm going to do that again. But I'm going to do it in a slightly different way this week, which is basically, look, if you have enjoyed this podcast, if you have checked out our articles, if you have gotten in the playoffs because you feel like we tipped you off to a player to pick up or a player to start in an unlikely matchup, send us a note. It's the end of the season. We've been doing this since July.
Yeah,
now,
July.
Like, amazing to think about. I think that we put out our first episode in July. It's now December.
Yeah, we've done, this is the 19th or 20th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting close to 20 episodes. It'd be great to hear from a couple of people if they've enjoyed it.
Yeah. All this free content that we've been giving you.
It's free content we've been making in my basement in Fantasy Outliers Central. So if you could get in touch, that would be great. It's podcast@fantasyoutliers.com. If you are too lazy for email and you want to hit us up on social media, we're on Twitter. That's the place that you could probably find us the most easily. It is just @fantasyoutliers on Twitter. You will find us on Sunday morning this week. We did put together some advice last week, so we'll definitely do that again this week on Sunday morning on the fantasy football advice and fantasy football help hashtags. We'll be out there. You can tag us. You can tag that hashtag, and maybe we'll see you talking about our ranks, giving people start sit advice, all that kind of stuff. We will be putting out the rankings article for this week, probably Saturday morning this week. So it'll come out after the podcast. So for now, if you want to check out our week 14 rankings, you should go to projections.fantasyoutliers.com to see the uncut stuff. We'll put out the commentary on Saturday. You can read it while you're using the bathroom, like most people read fantasy football content, and do your final lineup decisions with our ranking sheets and all that kind of stuff. So, it's been another great week, Dave.
Yeah.
We had some really choice digressions, I think. And also, I think provided some pretty good fantasy football insight.
I hope so.
So, that's great. And we will see you all next week.
Good luck in the playoffs, everybody.
Good luck in the playoffs. Hopefully you get to week 2, because that's where stuff gets really interesting.
Till then.
Bye.